Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley saying to you, good morning and the Lord bless you. Did you hear those beautiful chimes? They're from St. Mary's Church in Chesham in Buckinghamshire, England, where we spent the first 10 years of ministry. They very graciously have allowed me to use these bells to introduce this program. I think they're just gorgeous. I hope you like them. It's a trivial thing, but it's heartwarming too. It takes me back a long way. One day I'll tell you a great story about these bells, but that's another story that we'll have to wait for another time. I wanted to share with you from Matthew 5 again. This is a continuation of our last broadcast. It is to say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're talking about the attitudes that we should have. I've read it to you many times now, but blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, we've read this several times, but I must go back to this verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. And I want to say to you again, don't be frightened to repent when you find impurity in your heart, but quickly rush to Calvary's cross and quickly fall on bended knee. Quickly bow your heart in the presence of Almighty God. Quickly say, ah, Lord God Almighty, wash me. Wash me that I shall be white as snow. Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create within me. Create. Create. You see, holiness comes by the creation of God. He has created in you a thing called salvation, if you prefer. He has given you the gift of eternal life. Or if you prefer, he has given to you redemption. Redemption is an interesting word. If you're broke, you take a ring or a watch to the pawnbroker and you say, will you loan me $10 against this article? And he gives you the money for you to redeem it. If he gave you $10, I don't know what the percentages are, but if he gave you $10 as a loan, if you want to buy that article back, you have to give him $15, and there is a greater portion. Obviously, that's where he makes his profit. There is a greater portion you have to pay to get back that piece of jewellery or whatever article it is. To buy from the pawn shop, if you go into the book of Ephesians, I see the book of Ephesians as a sort of an Arabian Nights story. If you read all the way through it, the Apostle Paul is telling us a great story. He is saying the church is mocked by the unchurched. The Christian is mocked by the unchristian. The people of God are mocked who love Christ by those who love not Christ. And so he sort of draws an analogy. He says the church is rather like the great beautiful woman that is put on the slave block and is sold into slavery. And they take her clothes off and they laugh at her and they mock her. And the blemishes of her body, they're pointed out and so on. And she is mocked. The slave master is Satan. And he is saying, look at this church. Look, look how it fails. If God really loved his son Jesus, wouldn't he have taken him down from the cross? So do you expect him to love you more? And so it goes on. And there's a sense in which we're sold into slavery. We're in the pawn shop. There's a great deal of mocking going on of the people around this slave block. The woman feels hideous. But along comes a fellow, and he's not overly impressive, but he pushes his way through the crowd, and he says, I will buy this girl. I will buy this creature. I will buy this creation of God from you. Name your price. Satan, being the slave master, knows that he is talking to Jesus, and he wants Jesus above all to be shamed. So he says, the price is your life. And Jesus says, I'll give it. And he takes off his robe and wraps it round the woman, and it is called the robe of righteousness. Her nakedness is taken away. Her shame is now his. And as Paul writes the book of Ephesians, I see that being played out. When he comes to putting on the whole armor of God, he tells us how we do not have to go ever back into that slavery. But what Jesus did was he redeemed us from the pawn shop of the wickedness of Satan. Are you redeemed? Are you redeemed? Can you sing, I'm redeemed? Can you say with all your heart, I am redeemed? If so, step over, you're pure of heart. Now, in your experience, you may slide and you may get back into places that you didn't want to get to. But I am saying to you, in respect of ourselves, till the heart is pure, all our holy things are polluted. There are some splendid sins, say some people. To the unclean, all things are unclean, Titus tells us in the first chapter and the 15th verse. Their offering is unclean. Under the law, if a man who is unclean by a dead body carry a piece of holy flesh in his shirt, the holy flesh could not cleanse him, but it polluted him. You can read that in Haggai 2, verses 12 and 13. If a man had leprosy, whatever he touched was unclean. If he had touched the altar or sacrifice, the altar had not cleansed him, but he had defiled the altar. A foul hand defiles the purest water. An impure heart defiles prayers and all our spiritual energies. And I would say this to you, he drops poison upon all who drops poison into a glass of water. The pure stream running through muddy ground is polluted. The holiest ordinances are stained, running through an impure heart. A sinner's works are called dead works in Hebrews 6:1. And those works which are dead cannot please God. Now, I'm saying this to you who love the Lord. Think of the awful place of being without the Lord in your heart. Again, I would say to you, heart purity is necessary in respect to God. For God is holy, and purity is holy. The chief robe wherewith God himself is clothed. Habakkuk, I think you say in America, chapter 1 and verse 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. How many of us watch a mass of television, and how much of that television, for instance, is nothing but beholding evil? The will of the holy God, can he endure to have an impure heart come near him? Will a man lay a viper on his own chest? The holy God and the sinner cannot dwell together. None can dwell together but friends. But there is no friendship between God and sinner, both of them being a contrary judgment and disposition. An impure heart is more odious to God than a serpent. God gave the serpent its venom, but Satan fills the heart with sin. Why hath Satan filled thine heart? Cried Peter in Acts 5 and verse 3. The Lord abhors the sinner. He will not come near him, having his plague sores running. My soul loathe them, says God in Zechariah 11 and verse 8. Heart purity is necessary as regard of angels. They are pure creatures. The cherubims which typified the angels were made of fine gold and denote the purity of their essence. No unholy thought enters into the angels. Therefore, there must be purity of heart, that there may be some resemblance between us and them. What should unholy hearts do among the pure angelical spirits? Again, I would say to you, in regard to the saints glorified, they're pure, being refined from the wretchedness and the dregs of sin. Their title is Spirits of Just Men Made Perfect in Hebrews 12 and 23. Now, what could profane spirits do among spirits made perfect? I tell you, if you would wallow in your sins, could you come near to God and angels and spirits of men made perfect and have a sight of their luster? You would soon wish yourselves out of their company, as a man that is dirty and in rags, if he should stand before the king and his nobles and see them glistening in their cloth of gold and sparkling with their jewels, he would be ashamed of himself and wish himself out of their presence. I would say again, there must be a heart purity in regard of heaven. Heaven is a pure place. It is an inheritance undefiled. Peter speaks of this in the first epistle and the first chapter and the fourth verse. No unclean beasts can come into the heavenly ark. There shall not enter into it anything that defileth, says Revelation 21 and 27. The Lord will not put the new wine of glory into a musty, impure heart. All which considered shows of the necessity of heart purity. Again, I would say to you, it is the will of God that we should be pure in heart. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Paul says this to the church at Thessalonica in the fourth chapter of the first epistle in verse 3. Are you low in the world? Perhaps it's not the will of God that you should be rich, but it is the will of God that you should be holy. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Let God have his will by being holy, and you shall have your will by being extraordinarily blessed and happy. God's will must either be fulfilled by us or upon us. Again, I would like to say to you, purity of heart is the characteristic note of God's people. God is good in Israel, to all Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. You can read that in Psalm 73 and verse 1. Heart purity dominates us as the Israel of God. It is not profession which makes us the Israel of God. It makes us of Israel indeed, but all are not Israel which are Israel, Romans 9:6 tells us. Purity of heart is the jewel which is hung only upon the elect, as chastity distinguishes a virtuous woman from a harlot, so the true saint is distinguished from the hypocrite by his heart purity. This is like the nobleman's star or garter, which is a peculiar ensign of honour, differing him from the vulgar peasant. When the bright star of purity shines in a Christian's heart, it distinguishes him from a formal professor of Christianity. Again, I would say to you, the purity of heart makes us like God. It was Adam's unhappiness once that he aspired to be like God in his foolishness. But we must endeavour to be like God in sanctity. God's image consists in holiness. To those who do not have this image, the superscription is upon them. He will say, I do not know you. I know you not. God delights in no heart but where he may see his own face and likeness. You cannot see your face in a glass when it is dusty. God's face cannot be seen in the dusty, impure heart or soul. The pure heart is like a clean glass, gives forth some idea of the representation of God. There is little comfort in being like God in other things besides purity. Are we like God in that we have a being? So have stones. Are we like him in that we have motion? So have the stars. Are we like him in that we have life? so have the trees and the birds. Are we like him in that we have knowledge? So have devils. Is there no likeness to God that will prove comfortable and blissful, but our being like him in purity? God loves the pure in heart. Love is founded upon likeness. Again, I would say to you, the excellency of the heart lies in the purity of it. Purity is the glory of the soul in innocency. The purer a thing is, the better. The purer the air is, the more free from noxious vapours, the better it is. The spirits of water distilled are most precious. The purer the gold is, the more valuable. The purer the wine is, it is taken off from the dregs, the more excellent it is. The more the soul is clarified by grace and taken off from the dregs of sin, the more precious account God makes of it. The purer the heart is, the more spiritual it is, the more spiritual and more fit to entertain him who is a spirit. God is good to the pure in heart. God is good to Israel, even to such as were of a clean heart. Let me repeat that, because I've read it once to you. This is Psalm 73:1. God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. We all desire that God should be good to us. It is the sick man's prayer, Lord, be good to me. God is good to such as are of a clean heart. But how is God good to them? Well, in two ways. To them are pure, all things are sanctified. Look at Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. Our relationships are sanctified. Even our possessions are sanctified. As the temple sanctified the gold, the altar sanctified the offering. To the unclean, nothing is clean. Their table is a snare. Their temple devotion is sin. There is a curse entailed upon the wicked man. Look at Deuteronomy 28 and verses 15 through 20. But holiness removes the curse and cuts off the entail. To the pure, all things are pure. The second thing is, the pure-hearted have all things work for their good to as many as receive him. Why, all things are good. All things work together for good to them that love God. You can see this in Romans 8:28. Mercies and afflictions can turn to our good. The most poisonful drug can be a medicine. The most cross providence shall carry us on the design of our salvation. Who then would not be pure of heart? God is good to such as are of a clean heart. Again, let me say to you, heart purity makes way for heaven. The pure in heart shall see God. Happiness is nothing but the quintessence of holiness. Purity of heart is heaven begun in man. Holiness is called in Scripture the anointing of God. The first epistle of John and chapter 2 and verse 27 tells us that. Solomon was first anointed with the holy oil. Then he was made king in 1 Kings 1 and 39. The people of God are first anointed with the oil of the Spirit and made pure in heart. Then the crown of glory is set upon their head. Is it not purity to be highly valued? It lays a train of glory, purity of heart, and seeing God are linked together. Now note, there are examples who have been eminent in heart purity. The Lord Jesus was the first pattern of purity. Which of you convinceth me of sin, he says in John 8 and 46. In this we are to imitate Christ. We are not to imitate him in raising the dead or in working miracles, but in being holy. 1 Peter 1:16. That may slide against some of you who think otherwise. Besides the golden pattern of Christ, we are to write after the fair copy of those saints who have been of a dove-like purity. David was so pure in heart that he was a man after God's own heart. Abraham was so purified by faith that he was one of God's cabinet counsels. And you see that in Genesis 18 and verse 17. Moses was so holy that God spake with him face to face. What were the rest of the patriarchs but so many plants of renown flourishing in holiness? Fathers of the primitive church were exemplary in purity. We need to get some of that into our hearts and souls as saints for the Lord Jesus. We need to be Christians, holy, pure of heart. Heart purity, again, is the only jewel that you can carry out of the world. Have you a child you delight in, or have you a lot of possessions that you delight in? You can carry nothing out of the world. 1 Timothy 6:7 tells you that very clearly. Purity of heart is the only commodity that can be with comfort transported. This is that will stay longest with you. Usually we love those things that stay longest. We prize a diamond, a piece of gold, above the most beautiful flower because the flower fades. Heart purity is for perpetuity. It will go with us beyond the grave. Now, there's a million other things I'd like to share with you, but there is not time, and this is going to be the last program on this particular issue. So I'm going to hurry a little, but I'm going to say to you, often look to the Word of God. Now are ye clean through the Word. John 15:3. The Word is very pure. Psalm 119 and verse 140. God's Word is pure, not only for the matter of it, but the effect, because it makes us pure. Sanctify them through thy truth, said Jesus. Thy word is truth, John 17 and verse 17. By looking into this pure crystal, we are changed into the image of it. The word is like a glass to show us the spots on our souls and a laver to wash them away. The word breathes nothing but purity. It radiates in the mind and consecrates the heart. Now, a second thought, go to a bath. There are two baths that Christians should wash in, the bath of tears. Go to the bath. Peter was sullied and defiled himself with sin and washed with penitential tears. Mary Magdalene was an impure sinner, stood at Jesus' feet weeping, Luke 7 and 38. Mary's tears washed her heart as well as Christ's feet. Oh, sinners, let your eyes be a fountain of tears. Weep for those which are so many that have passed all the arithmetic of man. This water of contrition is healing and purifying. The second bath is in Christ's blood. There is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Zechariah 13 and verse 1 tells us, a soul steeped in the brinish tears of repentance and bathed in the blood of Christ is made pure. This is the spiritual washing. All the legal washings and purifications were but types and emblems representing Christ's blood. This blood lays the soul to a whitening. And then, another thought I would leave with you. Get faith. It is soul-cleansing grace, having purified their hearts by faith. Acts 15 and verse 9 tells us, the woman in the gospel that would touch the hem of Christ's garment was healed. A touch of faith heals. If I believe Christ and all his merits are mine, how can I sin against him? We do not willingly injure those friends who believe. Love us. Nothing can have a greater force of efficacy upon the heart to make it pure than faith. Faith will remove mountains, remove pride, lust, envy. Faith and the love of sin are absolutely inconsistent. And then if there was time, I would say we would breathe after the Holy Spirit and so on. But I share all this with you because Jesus said, have these attitudes in your heart and you will become spiritually prosperous, massive in fact. You will be so strong in the Lord that people will be amazed at your strength and your character. People will be surprised at the way you live because God is not easily understood, yet he is not uneasily comprehended. Let's just pray together. Almighty God, will you please purify our hearts, maybe with fire, maybe with water. Whatever the circumstances, purify our hearts, please, this very day, that we may see you, and when we see you, be like you. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face, and we know that we shall stand in your presence, and we want to be pure. Lord, open our hearts to your grace and your love. Renew our fellowship. Renew our love. Renew our tenderness. Renew our gentleness. Renew us this day that we may glorify and honor our blessed, dear, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, let us be pure of heart. Wash us, please. Create within us, please. And love us, please. Bless all that hear these words for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. God bless and keep you. Bye-bye.